Now, is this the fourth time we've done this or the third? Third? I couldn't remember. Is it the third? Okay. So I guess that's right. So, and I've enjoyed this one more than anyone. You have too? I have too. And we're going to continue on after I get the light on. I will say this. We've got several things. Most of you that are here, we have people that haven't been here before, but I would have brought the sign-up sheet, but I didn't think about it. We have a sign-up sheet usually for our ministry, and it's so we can get your email. And most of you that are here, we have your email addresses. But what we do with that is send an email newsletter about once a month telling you some things we're doing. And we're in the middle of something really big. Our desire is to reach into this community and to touch people's lives, and we're doing some of that right now. And there's something we're fixing to do that's pretty neat that God's been directing us to do for the last 2 years, but we just didn't get clear direction. And we're going to do that, and we might offer you the opportunity to help us in a way, not financial or anything like that, but in a different way, just with information. But we would like you to take one of these cards. If we don't have your email and you don't have ours, take one of these. It has our number, but it also has our website on it. And go to our website and fill out a contact form, and that way we'll have your email. And we don't solicit funds. We just tell you what we're doing and what God's doing through us. But this will also let you know places we're going to be in the area. And I don't know that I'm going to be in the area. Lamar Lanigan's about as close as I'm going for the next 3 months. I think I'm in Mississippi in April, and the Boot Hill, East Prairie, Missouri, and then I can't remember where all I'm going to be. Anyhow, I'm somewhere. I'm always somewhere. Enid, I'm in the state for a while, and I always enjoy doing these because it's coming home, and I preach in almost all the churches, including my home church, some at Cornerstone, and so it's kind of neat to come here to minister the Word. Let's talk about the cross again tonight. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians 1, verses 20 through 23. This message is probably out of all of them the one that I struggled with the most, because it's the one I don't know I'm learning more and more about in my own personal walk with God. How many know the cross is the most important revelation we can ever get in our Christian walk? But for it to be effective, it has to be a Christian walk. Amen? If the cross only represents a bailout from hell, then you really haven't got the totality of why you need to know about the cross. Because Jesus expects you to take up a cross, expects you to walk the road of the cross. In fact, there are certain elements of our life have to be like His life. Well, how many know that's our goal, to be like Jesus? I was raised Pentecostal, and I'd always testify, my goal is to make heaven my home. I always figured that the Bible says that we are to be conformed into the image of Christ, correct? And I always figured that if we became like Jesus, we wouldn't have any trouble getting to heaven, you know? So our desire should be to be like Christ. And the fact of the matter is, you'll never totally obtain that, but because of the cross, you have been created in His likeness and His image, and you have become a new creature in Christ, so you can be like Jesus. Amen. We've already talked about that. But we're going to talk. I'm going to title this. And I tell you, I really like doing these services, and I'll tell you why. Because people say that evangelist preaches the same thing over and over again. That is not true. I have 8 different things I preach every year. So that's not true. So what I like about, and I do study a lot of stuff. I know, I'm not going to brag that I know a lot of the Bible. I just spend a lot of time in the Bible, so I guess I know a lot because I'm in the Bible. But I preach certain things I feel like God has for me to preach for the church. And what's neat about coming here is me and John get together and I pray about it. I throw a subject at him, and it's something I've never preached on totally before. Now, I've preached on the cross before, but I've never done a meeting on the cross. And so I'm just going to say, okay, here we go. Let's see how it goes. So you guys are like, you know, the comedian is, they go out and they do their new material. You guys are my group I always do my new material on, okay? And so you get it firsthand, so I'm on what you're going to say. You mean if I go hear you somewhere else, you'll probably hear this again? I'll probably hear this again? Yes, you will. I guarantee you're going to hear this again somewhere. But
I call this tonight the cross of commitment. Everybody say that with me. The cross of commitment. What's a commitment? A commitment is a pledge or a promise or an obligation. We have made a commitment to, in other words, here's an example. We have made a commitment to pay our bills on time, right? Amen. A commitment is an engagement, it's an involvement. Here's a sentence. They have sincere commitment to religion, okay? It's an engagement or an involvement. If you're committed to something, you're involved in that. You spend a lot of time with the thing you're committed to. Amen? Now look at Colossians 1:20 through verse 23. And we're going to major primarily on verses 21 and major total underlying score. Most important verses are going to be 22 and 23 tonight. We used this verse last night and it was rich, wasn't it? And having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile. Now I want you to stop right there because this will come into bearing in our preaching tonight. Again, I will say the word reconcile means to restore back to harmony and favor. To restore back to harmony and favor. And we talked about this verse last night for those that weren't here. And through the cross, through the blood that was shed on the cross, God can restore back to harmony and favor every relationship in your life. It's not going to come but through the cross. Where the primary relationship that needs to be restored back to harmony and favor is our relationship with the Lord, right? With God, with our Heavenly Father. That happens through the cross. But every relationship can restore back to harmony and favor through the cross, okay? Let's go on here because there's some powerful verses going on here in the book of Colossians. Colossians is a good book. Real good book. Verse 21 says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He restored back to harmony and favor in the body of His flesh through death." Do you realize He did that in His body to restore you back to harmony and favor through death? Now here's what it does for you if you embrace it. To present you holy, you. You know the ugly guy you saw in the mirror this morning? You. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Now stop, guys, because that was really good reading. I even read that good. I only messed up once, and you all just look at me like a calf at a new gate. That was a good verse. Now, are you all too full of those chip stuff back there to understand what you just read? That at the cross, He made you, what was it? Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Not in yours. Man, we will never be that way in other people's sight because two people are too stinking critical. Amen. How many know everybody's got the calling of gift of suspicion? We all know what's wrong with everybody but us, of course. But this is in God's sight. In God's sight, right? Now, I'm going to skip that last verse because we're going to go back to it. Don't y'all cheat and get ahead of my message, okay? Don't you cheat. All right, now listen. I'm going to skip verse 23. I'll get a word study on those three words. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in sight. You will never get that way until you get a revelation of the cross, okay? Unblameable. Now listen, I mean holy. Holy means to be set apart, to be sanctified, to be consecrated. That's good. It means to be pure. Now listen to this. In its fundamental ideal, it is separation, consecration, devotion to the service of deity, sharing. Listen, this is the best Greek dictionary there is. This one I'm reading out of. It's called the Word Dictionary. Sharing in God's purity and abstaining from earth's defilement. That's what holy means. I'll just read that again. Holy means sharing in God's purity. Not man's purity. Man's purity is tainted, okay? Man's purity is determined by man's standard, and man's standard is in the toilet. I don't know if you know that or not, especially nowadays, right? It's having God's purity without earth's defilement. That's what you look like in the eyes of God through the cross. Now, if you ever really knew that, you would have no struggle believing God heard you when you prayed. Amen? It would increase your prayer. It would make you worship God different. Amen? It would make you trust God more. If that's the problem, we don't believe God really cares about us. Oh, we know the message of the cross, and yeah, we know He died for us. Yeah, but we don't really believe it. Amen. Now, let's go on here, because I'm going to catch y'all here in a minute. I'm going to let us have it here in a second, okay? I'm building you up so I can pull the air out of the balloon, okay? Not really. Number two, what's that next word? The next word is the word unblameable. I like that one, unblameable. Woo! Finally, it's not me that's at fault. Glory to God, hallelujah. To be unblameable means to be spotless, without blemish. In classic Greek, it's used as a technical word to designate the absence of something amiss in a sacrifice or something which would render it unworthy to be offered. In other words, you guys know a little bit about the Old Testament, know that when they offered a sacrificial lamb, that if it had a blemish or it had a flaw in the body of that lamb, it could not be offered as a sacrifice. Jesus became the sacrifice so that when He looks at us, He sees a perfect sacrifice through Christ. Did y'all catch that? And you know, I love that verse in Hebrews 13:5 that tells us, it's 13:5 or 13:15, that tells us, I think it's 13:15, that tells us that the sacrifice we are to make is the sacrifice of praise. We don't have to offer a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus was the sacrifice for our sins. So the sacrifice we make to God is the sacrifice of praising Him. Amen? Isn't that good? And he looks at us as unblemished in His sight. Number three, this is all through the body of His death, Jesus' body, that has happened. The next one is unreprovable. Now listen to this. Unreprovable means without accusation in the court of law. Now, I just stopped there because I thought somebody would go, ooh, or wow, amen, or thank you, Jesus, or something. Okay, let's try that again. Without accusation in a court of law, not merely unaccusable, but unaccused, free from any legal charge. In other words, what that means is, it's not like you appeared before the heavenly court and God said, you're forgiven. It's like there was never any charge laid up against you. Now, we talked about that last night when we talked about in the book of Colossians. Now, I read it out of the Amplified Bible. It says He blotted out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. It did not say that He nailed it to His cross and it said paid in full. Even though that's what He did, what He did was He nailed it to His cross and He wiped the note out. If the devil comes to you and says, you did this and you did that, He said, you tell him, devil, look on the cross. That's where the note's at. The devil's nose. All that's on the cross is a blank sheet of paper that's been wiped clean by the blood of Jesus. That's why you go to the cross of why your prayers can be answered. You go to the cross on why you're free. All right? How many want to live that way? I said, how many want to live that way? Now, some people like to be miserable and feel sorry for themselves, and then I don't. Do y'all? I mean, I'm 51. I'm tired of living that way. How about you? I'm tired of being down on myself constantly. I don't think I'm ever going to have trouble with boasting in myself. I know myself too well to do that. But I'm not going to feel bad about myself anymore if Jesus did that for me. There's one problem with this wonderful preaching. There's a condition. Just because you pray doesn't mean that's going to happen. Just because you accept the work of Christ one time, you go to church, you stand in front of a bunch of people, and you confess Jesus is Lord, and you pray the sinner's prayer, doesn't mean it's an automatic, because there's conditions. Boy, you guys were really with me until I got there, didn't you? I mean, I led you to water, then I drained the pool, didn't I? See, there are conditions. A lot of people pray the sinner's prayer, but they're still not. They're still not in that position. They're still not holy before God. How many know what I'm talking about? They're still not unreprovable before God. They're still not, what was the other one, unreprovable and I can't remember what it was. Unblameable. They're still not there. Something's wrong. Because see, a lot of people, they pray the sinner's prayer and all they do is, all they basically have done is they belong to the born again club now. Because there's some conditions. Now, I'm not going to say you don't go to heaven, but I am going to say you don't live the life that's pleasing to God. You aren't unreprovable before God. You aren't unblameable. You have to walk by carrying that cross of commitment to God. Because, see, there's another verse. How many know there's an if in those verses? It's the very next verse. Look at what it says. I was showing this to my wife the other day when I was studying this, and she said, "Where's that verse? Where's that verse?" I think he wrote it down or did something with it. And maybe quoted it to me. I don't know. In verse 23, I might need to be quoted this verse too. How many know there's a condition? If you continue in the faith, you can't go to church. Let me just say this in love, okay? Because, see, we miss out on this. We cheat people out of the true life with God because they want fire insurance, but they really don't get the abundant life because they pray just because you go to church and somebody says, "Say Jesus is Lord," and ask God to forgive you of your sins, and then you walk away from that place and live like a devil from hell, doesn't mean you're right with God. Preach it, brother. Thank you, I will. I'm patting myself on the back again. Isn't that right? Now, we're not to judge other people, their relationship with God, but we do know if they have fruit or not. Some people are fruity though, right? But the fact of the matter is, there's an if in that next verse. It says, if you continue in the faith. How do we know there's some if scriptures in the Word of God? Let me give you some of them, alright? There's a bunch of them. Believe it or not, you really know you don't have anything to do when you look in your concordance on your computer and there's 4,400 if scriptures and you look them all up. Then you know you had a long day, okay? You need to get another job or something. Listen to this. You can just listen to these. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." I don't know why God, having such a trouble believing God's going to forgive me. It's probably because you ifing, you ain't ifing. You ain't forgiving everybody that's done you wrong. And that's why that spirit of forgiveness doesn't operate in your life, is you're not giving it out. That's why you feel so condemned by God, which you aren't condemned by God, you're being condemned by the devil. You feel unforgiven by God because you're not forgiving other people. Open up your hard head and forgive a couple of people and you might feel better about yourself and you won't be miserable anymore. I know you won't get as much attention, but just don't worry about it. Amen, right? Some people like to be miserable because they get attention. Romans 8:10, you can all see why I never pastored very successfully. Romans 8:10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. That's Romans 8:10. And this one doesn't have the word if in it, but I just threw it in. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." There is no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus, but if you're fleshly, there's going to be some condemnation there. Amen? Moving right along. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, and this is good for the day we live in, "If my people," everybody say, "If my people." See, it's not the world that causes the wreck in a nation. It's the Christians. It's the church. When there's problems with sin in a nation, when there's problems with finances in a nation, the church better check its attitude out before we start judging the world for where they're at, because they're going to hell anyway. We ought to be the children of God. We've got to be the light set on a hill. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. It's not the sin of the world that keeps the blessings of God out of a nation. It's the sin of the church. It's the sin of God's people. But when they repent, how many know God can come back with mercy and do something? Right? Does that have anything to do with what you preach on? Absolutely not, but I'm throwing it in there anyway, baby. Amen, because I'm the one preaching. Amen. Isn't that right? Well, you know what? There'll be people, and I'm against abortion. I don't think abortion is right, but I don't hate people that have abortion. I don't hate people that vote for abortion. I pray for all of them, okay? And I don't think we should go with what those guys did a few years ago and tried to, you know, blow up abortion clinics or anything like that. But you'll watch a bunch of people, they'll get upset about abortion, but you take those same people that may be deacons in the church, and they'll sit on the front row, and somebody will come in with four kids that won't behave in church, and the deacons, the head honchos of the church, will drag the pastor over the corner and say, "Pastor, you need to do something about those kids on the back row." And it might be some poor mother that drug them all off the street, didn't know God at all, didn't know anything about God, drug them off the street. I tell you what we need to do about that mother in the front row. y'all, we need to get some ladies in the church and go down to Walmart and buy her some clothes and straighten her up, have a Bible study at her house and help her out. We need to take those four kids and have a mother from the church preach one of those kids and take care of them while they're at church. That's what we need to do about those babies on the front row and back row. And I'm telling you, that's the sin that keeps the blessings of God out of a nation, is when the church becomes selfish and it doesn't reach out to other people. Amen. Hallelujah. Help me, John. Okay. Thank you. Amen. Let's go on here. Now, those some ifs. Now, there's another scripture about if you continue. And I quoted this the other day. Listen to this. John 8:31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My Word." Everybody say, if you continue in My Word. Now, what's it mean, continue? What's it mean if you can... I didn't even let you guys finish before I start talking again. If you continue. Yes, sis? Gotta start somewhere. Okay, right. If you continue in My Word, what's that mean? If you continue in My Word.
It's a constant.
A constant. That's good. Anybody else? I like that. Constant. Was you saying something, Judy? What's it mean to continue? Continue literally means you just don't hear it, you walk in it. That's the constant. You listen to it, you do it. You listen to it, you do it. You live by it. You don't live by just what you say. You live by what you breathe, you eat, you smell, you talk about. It's your actions. It's here. It's what you think about. Okay? He said here, listen to this. I want to ask you. Through the cross, you are made, through Christ, you are made holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. But there is a condition attached to that promise. How many want to live that way? I said, how many of you want to live that way? How many really want to live that way? No, not when you get to heaven. He didn't die on the cross so you'd be that way in heaven. He died on the cross so you could have that now. Amen. Some people don't want that. They just want to, maybe they don't. I think most people just don't understand. I don't think it's that they don't want it. I think they just don't understand. This is a lifestyle and you have to endeavor to grab a hold of it. Paul said to lay hold on eternal life. Amen. Wherewith thou art called. Lay hold on it. Fight the good fight of faith. I want to live that way before God, because if I know, if I live holy, unblameable, and unreprovable before God, I know that there is nothing in my life I will not be able to handle if I'm that pleasing to God, if I'm in that position with God. Now, I will never earn it, but I still have to walk in it. That means I won't never be perfect, but I'll be that way in God's eyes because of the condition of my heart. See, just saying a sinner's prayer doesn't make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Just saying a sinner's prayer doesn't make Jesus the Lord of your life. The way you conduct yourself makes Jesus the Lord of your life. Amen. Listen to what it says here. It says, I think our trouble is we want to catch fish, but we don't want to clean fish. Amen. You know what the problem is? We want to, the word says in Mark 16, these shoes are slippery. I'm keep doing like this. The word says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Right? Mark 16. But the word says in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. The problem is that we want to have somebody have the born again experience, but then we want to throw them back out there, and we need to know that God's called us not just to lead them to the Lord, but to walk them with the Lord. And that's why they never grow, and they give up on their faith, and they lose what they got from God, and they never become unreprovable, unblameable, and holy before His sight, except for that moment when they accept Christ, and then they go back on it. And you can go back on it. Amen? Because we don't spend the time to invest in those people. I think we ought to love people, and then when they get saved, we keep loving them until they're at a point where they're loving people too. As me and John have talked about, that means you've got to put up with a lot of crud. Amen? When you want to choke them, just remind yourself where you used to be. Amen? Let's go on here. None of this is in my notes, so it doesn't count on my time, so it's actually not as late as you think. No, not really. That didn't go over. Okay, let's look at Colossians 1:23. If you do what? If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard, which was preached to you, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister, Colossians 1:23. Let's look at some of these words here. Look at the word. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded. The word grounded means foundational, or to lay the foundation on something. To be grounded in the faith means that's your foundation. This is the way you're going to live. This is what you're going to build your life on. Amen? When you make Jesus Lord of your life, you're going to build your life in His Word. Amen? You're going to live your life. You're going to build it on His principles. You're going to build it by His direction. If you're going to say, which Romans 10, 9 and 10 says you do to get saved, if you're going to say that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart God's raised Him from the dead and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you better mean it, because you're saying, God, I'm laying my foundation on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Amen? To be grounded. The Message Bible says you don't walk away from a gift like that. I like how the Message says things. You don't, listen to this. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust. Boy, that's good, isn't it? I'll read that again. It says you don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust. That's why I always encourage people when they get saved, get in a church. Get where the Word of God's being preached. You don't have to forsake all your friends, but get some new friends. Get some believers. Start building your life on a different foundation. The reason most people get saved, not always, but most people get saved because their life's a shambles. It's a mess. There are people that have their life together. They still need Jesus, right? But most people, their life's a mess. You can't build your foundation on the same foundation you built on before. You'll just fall again. Amen? How many of you need to shut the television off, particularly in this day and hour? Amen? And get the Bible out, read the Word, and seek the face of God, and start building your life on a different foundation. You may fall, you may slip, but when you fall, you spell on the foundation, and you just get back up and you go again. There's a big difference, right? It says that if you're going to be unblameable, unreprovable, and holy in His sight, if you're grounded. Now listen to this. It means to be grounded. Now listen to the word settled. Settled means firm, immovable, steadfast. It means you don't go another direction and embrace another message. You can't get saved and run after Buddha. You can't get saved and run after things that are unhealthy for you. You've got to continue in the process, right? Then it says, I like this part. It says, and don't move away from the hope of the gospel. See, you move away when you lose those precious things God said you have in Him. You begin to move away when you move away from the precious things that God says you have in Him. In other words, you can move away from the hope of the gospel if you're in a church that doesn't emphasize the cross of Calvary. Boy, I got good shouting, and then I got one amen on that one. Amen? You're moving away from the gospel. You're moving away from the foundation, because what happens is you try to earn your salvation by your little rules and regulations. And there are churches that have rules and regulations that are about as scriptural as a toad frog in a mud bath. Amen. Now that had to be God, because I never know where that came from. Amen. That isn't. Now, that would be bad. You can agree with that. Well, somebody write that down. It doesn't make any sense, but everybody's going to use it. Yeah. But it's true. It's true. You know, I've been in churches where they got way overboard on holiness. You know what I mean? Women couldn't wear pants. And my wife had a pastor growing up that preached against pants, women wearing pants, and Bobby socks. What did that woman say that one time when he preached it? He preached what they call a clothesline message, and they take that scripture out of Deuteronomy that says it's wrong for a woman to wear a man's apparel. That's why it's wrong for her to wear pants. And what did that one woman say in church one time? Tell me how she said that. She got it in the middle of the sermon, didn't she? Did you hear that? She said she would. He was in the middle of preaching that message, just interrupted the preacher. I don't recommend that, but I still think it was great what she did. And he was preaching against men wearing pants. She's preaching against women wearing pants. And right in the middle of the sermon, she said that the lady got up and said that she had a pantsuit and she dared any man in the church to wear it down Main Street if it was man's apparel. Amen. Some of our rules are not God's rules. They're our rules. Amen. And we move from the gospel when we begin to please man instead of God. Amen. See, the message is we embrace the cross and we walk out that message. We walk it out. We live under the principles of Jesus to forgive and love one another and to seek His face and other things that are scripturally related in the Word. We do it that way. But we can move from the gospel when we begin to make a commitment to something besides the cross of Calvary. Amen. False religions start that way. I don't believe in and Jesus stuff. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Jesus and something else. No. Just embrace His message. Just embrace what He said. Oh, I'm not saying not to embrace the message of a preacher. We were talking about Beth Moore. I love Beth Moore. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying don't let that be taught. That don't let anything anybody preaches supersede what God's Word says. Amen. Don't make following their rules more important than following God's rules. Because how many know that's how cults get started? Amen. And every cult moves away from the cross. Amen. Now listen. Huh? Yeah, or never started there. Listen to this, how they amplified this verse. It says, "And this He will do provided that you continue to stay with and in faith in Christ, well grounded, settled, and steadfast, not shifting or moving away from the hope which rests on and is inspired by the glad tidings of the gospel which you've heard and which has been preached as being designed for and offered without restriction to every person." And listen to this. I'll read that again. "The gospel which you've heard and which has been preached as being designed for and offered without restriction to every person under heaven, and of which gospel I, Paul, became a minister." Well, that's good. Listen to this. "To do the blessing of the cross, you must live the cross. Don't just pray the sinner's prayer." Okay? You need to pray the sinner's prayer, but don't just do that. "Through the cross, we are made free." How many know? Through the cross of Jesus, we're made free. Now, we need to walk in that freedom. We're made free, and we need to walk in that freedom. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. To do that, to walk in that freedom, you must carry the cross of commitment. Go to Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1. Jesus made us free through the cross, so we must walk in that freedom. But to walk in that freedom, we have to walk in it God's way, right? We're not licensed to be free to do our own thing. Amen? We are free from religion, but we're not free from the laws of God. Say that again. We are free from religion. Religion can be something outside Christianity. You know that, right? I mean, religion doesn't necessarily mean Jesus. We are free from the rules of religion, but we're not free from the rules of God. Amen? Freedom is not the liberty to do your own thing, and that's what we're basically going to share here at the closing here. And then we're going to share the scriptures on the cross. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast," stand firm is what that means. "Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." How many know He's made us free? We are free. We don't have to try to be free. We are free. Amen. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Just because Paul said that by inspiration of the Spirit of God tells me you can be entangled again with the yoke of bondage even after you get a hold of the message of the cross and accept Christ. You can move away from the gospel. You can go back on drugs. You can get back into alcohol. You can do those things. Most of the time, the reason that happens is we don't walk out the cross of commitment. We don't stay with it. We don't become rooted and grounded in our faith, and we move away from the hope of the gospel. Let me just give you some background. How many of you ever read the book of Galatians much? It's a pretty good book. And I was wrong. I said verse 3 last night, but I read it, the whole book today. And it's verse 7. Had a lot of time on my hands, I guess. I read the whole book of Galatians and all this other stuff. Verse 7 says, I believe it's 6 or 7, says that he marveled that the church of Galatia was so far removed from the gospel. This was a church. This was not... Don't you think Paul might be able to say that to some groups today? Amen? You're so far removed from the gospel of Christ? The reason is because the church at Galatia... had been deceived by false teachers that were probably Jewish. I haven't done enough theology knowledge on this scripture to learn this, but I'm pretty sure they were Jewish. That had, and there's a group tries to do that today, tried to drag them back into Jewish law and circumcision. Now, if anybody would know about it, it would have been Paul. And he got on their case. Because they were losing their liberty in Christ. For some legalistic thing that had been done away with through Christ. Amen? And they weren't enjoying their freedom. Now, he warned them, don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Well, that was their bondage. How many know we can be entangled in other yokes of bondage ourselves? If we come to the cross, we get saved, gloriously saved, and God delivers us from drugs or alcohol or lustful desires or maybe a failed marriage. Do you think the enemy is not going to try to come back in and destroy what God did? You know what? I've been around long enough to know. I haven't been around as long as some of y'all been. And all of us have been around enough to know that you have to fight and contend for the faith. The devil is not going to try. He is not going to leave you alone in the area that the cross delivered you from. The only way to keep him from putting you back in bondage is don't move away from the gospel. It always starts subtle. I've watched it year after year after year. I've watched people come to the Lord. They accept the Lord. They get in the church. They get into the Word of God. They start seeking God. Then something happens that offends them. For now, they're not showing up for church anymore. For now, they're not reading their Bible anymore. They're being critical of everybody. Before you know it, you find out 5 years later they got arrested for drugs. 5 years later, they've been divorced. Their whole life fell apart because they got entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Because they received Christ, but they didn't walk it out. It is not a one-time walk out. It's the rest of your life. You have changed the foundation you're building on. You can say, I'm unreprovable, I'm unblameable, I'm holy before Him when you go to the cross. But you can lose that when you don't decide to continue in the faith. Amen? Now, I'm not going to argue with whether they go to heaven or not. I just know one thing. On earth, if they lose it, they'll go through a lot of hell. But God's gracious, and I've seen people come back. I'm watching that in somebody's life right now come back. And God's gracious. But you know something? The best thing is never to lose it. Always remember. I'm glad I can't figure this guy's name, but if I could, I would tell you his name. There was a guy when I was a young man, teenager, went to a church called Silver Moon Full Gospel. I lived in Granby. The church was over in Diamond, Missouri. And we had a guy come in that was one of our youth, to our youth group. He wasn't one of our youth. He was about 35, 40 years old at the time. He had been a convict. He had robbed banks, sold drugs, and all kinds of stuff. Came to our church, got saved, gloriously saved. God had radically changed his life. Came to our youth group, testified, and it was an impacting thing for me. I heard him, and I was like a sophomore, I think, in high school, and was impacting on me. Talked to him a little bit. Loved church. Got his family in church. Got his relatives in church. Had a bunch of old druggies come into church that way. Little by little, in 2.5 years, I watched one by one of those people, especially him. He was actually the first one. I watched him slowly begin to pull out of church, pull out of relationship with God. Would see him downtown drinking, and I'd see all that going on. That was senior year in high school, saw him drinking. Went to Bible school, married her, about 81. I'm watching the news, living in Granby. My parents lived in Granby then. Watching the news, and on the news, they had arrested a guy that had went from bank to bank robbing it, and it took them years, but they finally caught the guy over here in Knoll at the caves he was hiding out, and it was that same guy. He didn't continue in the faith. He gave up. Amen. See, you don't have the power to keep what you get from God. You got to stay with God to keep what you get from Him. Amen? Amen. Just praying, and I'm not trying to belittle the sinner's prayer because I'm not, but how many of God wants you to go deeper than just praying one prayer? He wants you to grow in nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's called the cross of commitment. When you make a decision to follow the Lord, you're making a decision to carry your cross. All right? Now listen to me. Paul said, and I'm ahead of myself, Paul said something else in Galatians 5:13. Look at Galatians 5:13. He's liberated us through Christ. But honey, He hasn't liberated you to do your own thing. Amen? He has not liberated you to do your own thing. He liberated you to serve people. Amen? You know why some people aren't liberated? Because they're not using the right liberty. Amen? Now, this isn't as good a message as last night as far as the blessing part, but it's one that has set you free. The reason that they're not free is they're not using their freedom right. It's not just, oh, I want to be free of drugs. Oh, I just want to be free of alcohol. No, He liberates you. Yes, you need to be free of those things. He liberates you to love people, serve people. Amen? And I can't define that for you because you know the certain way God wants you to serve people, and I know the certain ways and the things God wants me to do to serve people. I have more freedom in my life the last 2 years than I've ever had because I finally realized it's not about me. Amen? Some people never get that. It's not about me. Listen to what Galatians 5:13 says. Paul said it. He said, "For brethren, you've not been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Some people get liberated and they think, well, that means I can do whatever I want to do. If I want to drink, I can drink. If I want to chew, you know, I'm not making funny about chew, smokes, drinks, or hollers, or whatever you do. All I'm just saying is God didn't liberate you to do what you want to do. And I'm not saying any of those things send you to hell. God didn't liberate you to do those things. God liberated you to serve people. Amen? He didn't give you freedom from responsibility. He gave you freedom to serve Him. There's a big difference. Amen? That freedom from Christ doesn't mean you get to do your own thing. It means now you have the ability to do God's thing. All right? That's the cross of commitment. I said all that just so we could read the Scriptures that you know are in the Gospels because Jesus called people to carry a cross. Amen? I said He called people to carry a cross. Right? Go to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Are you there? Matthew 10, chapter verse 38 says, "And he," boy, this is a strong statement. Didn't write it, Jesus wrote it. I can't believe you said that. I just quoted a scripture to you. Matthew 10, 38 says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Now see, sometimes people read that and they think, oh, condemnation, oh, he's making me, oh, he's being nasty to us. Well, first of all, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He said, if you don't take up your cross and follow Him, you're not worthy of Him. You know, what is the cross Jesus is talking about? You know what? Everybody can define it differently, but here's my opinion. This is my opinion, but this is what I think. What did Jesus do on the cross? He was obedient to God, and He gave Himself for people. Did you hear me? He was obedient to God, and He gave His life for others. Amen? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I may not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm in the shed. That's exactly what your cross is. It's to be obedient to God and give your life for others. Amen? Now, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to take up your cross, because if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. Wait a minute. Oh, that sounds terrible. Why would Jesus say that? Have you all been here the last two nights? How many been here the last two nights? What in the world is wrong with that statement? If you've been here the last two nights, that's a glorious statement. Why would I want to go any other direction if through the cross I'm unblameable, unreprovable, and holy in His sight? All He asks of me is to do the same thing with my resources He did with His, to take everything I got and serve Him with everything I have. Because after all, on the cross He's made me holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. He's reconciled everything to Himself. He's nailed the handwriting of the ordinance was against me, taking it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. He's made me pure before Him. Why would I let Him do all that and not want to follow after Him after that? He's got a pretty good track record with me so far. Amen. Why would I want to go a different direction? Just do what He said do. Just pick up the cross. Don't like George maybe all the time, but I got to love Him because I'm taking up my cross. Amen? I love George all the time. But that's the fact of the matter. I'm going to be obedient to God. If He tells me to do something I don't want to do, I'm going to do it because I want to stay holy, unreprovable, and unblameable in His sight. Amen? Pretty cool place to live, isn't it? When you get up in the morning and say, God, I love you. And I've done this a thousand times. Every time I say in the morning, God, I love you, all I always hear in my spirit back is, I love you. Now, that's worth it. God loves me. He loves me as much as He loves any of you. He loves me. God, I'm His favorite kid. God has many favorites, but I'm His favorite kid. Amen. Say, I don't believe that. Well, then you have to be it. I don't believe I am either. Well, that's your problem. If you won't pick it, you won't choose to be the one, I'll choose to be the favorite one. Amen. Now listen to this. Next verse. Listen to this verse. Matthew 16:24. It says, Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after me, Matthew 16:24. I'm sorry, I've got it printed out and you're turning pages to try to get there. Don't you see it on the screen? No, there's not a screen here. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after me, how many of you want to come after the Lord? That means you go after Him, you pursue Him. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Him.
Self-denial is a part of taking up your cross. What's self-denial? Well, if it's in the caption of what we said taking up your cross is, it's to be obedient to God and love other people. How many know you don't have a right to choose whether you feel like doing something or not? Is that in the Bible anywhere where it said, and they felt not like going, so they did not go? Is that in the Bible somewhere? Is there a scripture in the Bible that says, thou shalt be comfortable all the days of thy life? Is that scripture in the Bible? I've been hunting that scripture for the last 30 years that says, Thou shalt be comfortable all the days of thy life. I haven't found it. If I'm having it, it's probably a wrong translation. There's no scripture in that. You just need to be obedient. You don't do what you feel like doing. You do what you're supposed to do. That's called walking by faith and not by sight. Amen? Amen. We deny ourselves. Self-denial isn't punishing yourself. Self-denial is laying aside what you want because He's Lord and doing what He wants. Amen. Mark 8:34. Go to Mark 8:34.
And it's going to be pretty, it's basically the same thing, but I want to just kind of really pound this in. And when He called, are you there? Mark 8:34.
I need to just turn there too. That way I know when you get there. Okay, Mark 8:34.
Says, And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Alright? Now go to Luke 9:23.
Luke 9:23. And then we're going to close with one. We'll be done. Everybody said, Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now,
Luke 9:23.
Because the reason I want to read Luke 9:23, even though it's very similar to what we've read, Luke 9:23, is because it makes it specific. Listen, there's only one day you have to take up your cross and deny yourself and follow Him. There's only one day out of the week you have to do that. There's only one time. There's only one time in your life you have to do that. There's only one time you have to do that. Today. Today. Amen? If you say, if the Lord speaks to your heart and says, this morning, tomorrow morning, He says, go see Mark, minister to Mark. He's really needs help. I mean, he needs help in his preaching. Go encourage him.
And say, well, I've been doing that all week. I'm not going to go over there.
Well, you have to because, see, this is a new day. And this scripture is applicable to Wednesday. This is a Wednesday scripture. This is a Tuesday scripture. This is a Thursday scripture. This is a Friday scripture. This is a Saturday scripture. This is a Sunday scripture. Listen to what it says. Even leap year it has to work. Look at what it says.
Luke 9:23. And He said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross.
Oh, I wish I left that part out, don't you?
Daily and follow me. In other words, this is a new day. You may have obeyed God perfectly Tuesday, but Wednesday's coming. And you got to apply this scripture to Wednesday. That means when somebody's nasty with you tomorrow and you want to deny them and instead of yourself and let them know how you really feel, minister the right hand of fellowship over their face. When you really want to do that in your heart, you want to let your silver tongue cut them and dice them and slice them, but you know you can't do that because you know that scripture's applicable for that day. You can't say, God, I've been good up till now.
And well, how many others? Forgiveness and repentance. But guess what? We got to repent because we were supposed to do it that day too. We can't say, I've put up with you for 100 years. Well, guess what? It's the 100th year, 365th day, and you're on the next day, and it's Luke 9:23 all over again. This is a daily medicine, okay? Listen to this. I made this statement. I wrote this down. I think it's by the Holy Spirit. What is the cross of commitment? Listen to this. The cross of commitment, it's every day doing what God wants you to do. And every day He wants you to give your life for other people. See, that's what he tried to do with a rich young ruler. You don't have to turn there, but I'm putting this down. The rich young ruler, that's what he wanted him to do. Listen to this story. You don't have to turn there, but Mark 10:17-22 says, Now he was going out on the road, and one came running and knelt before him and asked him, Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Did you notice the one that Jesus didn't mention was thou shalt not covet? Guess which one this man had problems with. Then Jesus looking at him loved him. Jesus looking at him loved him. He loved him. He wasn't trying to get on to him. He wasn't trying to make it where he couldn't be a disciple. He loved him. Jesus loves people that don't give it all up. He loved him and said to him, One thing you lack. Pretty good. How many know? Most of us would be several thousand. One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and take up your cross and follow me. Now, how many know he was not telling this guy to be poor? He was telling him to do two things. He was telling him to take up his cross, and when he took up his cross, he would do two things. He would be obedient to God by following the Lord, because I think this guy was called to be one of the 12 disciples. He was going to be obedient to God by following the Lord, and guess what he was going to do? He was going to sell all he had and give to the poor. Guess what two things he was going to have to do to take up his cross? He was going to have to be obedient to God and love people. Amen? But guess what the Word says? It says, he went away sad, for he had great possessions. You know, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying in that verse something very important. You know what? You don't have to twist the Scripture, but I believe not only was he sad because he had great possessions, he was sad because great possessions had him. He did not take up his cross. Amen. He did not use his liberty to serve one another. He used his liberty as an occasion to the flesh to get more, because this man was probably blessed by God because he had kept the Word of God. How many know we want everything God has for us? To do that, we must embrace what He's done for us, but let's take it to the next level. The next level is take what He did for us and take up our cross of commitment and follow Him and reach people and touch people and give our life for others. Amen? I mean, there's a song we used to sing when we take up offerings in some churches. I appreciate it. I started living when I started giving to God. And the way you give to God is not just putting a couple of dollars in the offering plate. It's by giving your life to touch other people's lives. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Y'all enjoyed that tonight? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't He? Let's stand to our feet, guys, tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, we're believing God for God to move in the lives of the people that believe. Amen? And I want you just to bow your heads. We're just going to spend a little time before we close the service tonight. Before we get to level 5, we've got some time here. I want you just to pray for me. I'm just going to pray and ask God exactly what we need to do in closing this out tonight. Father, we just come before your throne tonight. We thank you for the messages that you've given us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you for the opportunity to share the Word of God. I thank you for the things that you've given us to minister to other people, but we also desire to get personal, Father. First of all needs to be met because they can be met through the power of the cross. And second of all, Father, we ask tonight that you stir us up to have that cross of commitment and be obedient to you and
give our lives to touch other people's lives. Father, tonight, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask that you stir our hearts up to touch other people's lives. That you stir our hearts all up to not focus on the situations around us, situations in our economy, situations in our environment, but we concentrate on following you by taking up our cross, being obedient to you, and touching other people's lives.
Amen.
From this day forward, in Jesus' name. Now, everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes shut. Before we change the order of the service, because I am going to ask you to do something before I turn that, I just want to turn back over to you, John. You can dismiss us tonight. I want you to dismiss us tonight. All right? But before we do that, two things. Number one, how many of you in here tonight know there's something in your life that you haven't laid at the cross? You know there's something in your life you need to lay before God. You need to get, it's time. It's time to get rid of it. It's time to not let it have jurisdiction in your life. It's time to walk that way. Just lift your hands up real quickly. Okay, keep your hands up. Okay, just keep your hands up. Alright? Alright. Now, I want you to put your hands raised. We're just going to, you know what? I want you to come up here and we're going to pray for you. I'm just going to pray for you. Just come up here and we're going to pray for you up here tonight. Alright? We don't have to know what it is specifically. We're just going to pray for you, okay? Goodness. Okay. You guys join hands together, okay? Can you all join hands? Now the rest of you come up here with your hands too, right? We'll pray for you. Now, Father, I want to pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, everyone that is up here that knows what area they need to let go of, we ask you to help them make that quality decision. Make that quality decision to let go. It is not worth it. It is not worth keeping that in our lives because we have a mission from God. We must be obedient and we must give ourselves and touch other people. And starting tonight, we're making a decision to let go of the thing that is tormenting us right now. I want y'all, some of you may not feel comfortable doing this, but can you just do it for me? Just lift both your hands up to God. That's a point of surrender. And I want you to say this after you, and I say, Father, in Jesus' name,
Father, in Jesus'
name, I love you more.
I love you more.
Say it again. Father, in Jesus' name,
Father, in Jesus' name,
I love you more.
I love you more
than this thing.
I
want you more than I want this.
No matter
how it feeds my flesh,
I don't want it anymore.
I want what you want for me
more
than I want anything else. Starting this night, in Jesus' name. Now I want you, as your hands are raised, I want you to receive that freedom that's in Christ through that cross we were talking about. Father, we receive that unblameable, unreprovable Holy Spirit that comes by the blood of Jesus starting tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, one more thing. While we're up here, I want you to bow your heads and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you direction on how to touch somebody's life starting tonight. Not, I was going to say starting tomorrow, but forget that. Starting right now. It could happen when you get home right now. But listen. This is the way we are supposed to live. It's touching other people. It's not a good kind of deal. It's God's commandment to us, right? Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, direct our hearts starting right now to touch someone. And we will not get discouraged if it doesn't work. We will not get discouraged if it's not received. We will be patient and we will continue walking daily with the cross of commitment to touch somebody's life. Father, we give you the glory. When the results come, we want glory in the results through us, but we'll glory in the cross.
Amen.
We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.